We all need to be moving forward in our walk with God, being transformed from glory to glory, is the way that the Bible puts it. It's a wonderful phrase, isn't it? And there are so many amazing promises of God that are connected with discipleship. And then mission. God saved you for a purpose. And as a church, we want to be focused on those four things, laser focused. Those are the only things that count when it comes to church. And so we're having a four-week series on worship. We're halfway through that series, and then we were blessed with the ministry of John the week before last and Ben last week, for which many thanks. But we're going to come back to this worship series and the importance of worship. The first week we talked about the importance of posture, how important it was to raise your hands. We raise our hands here at AGCC. We want to love God with our hearts as well as our minds. We're called to do that, for worship to be emotional, to be intimate. And I want to look a bit more into that. But the first week was about posture. Second week, I preached about the importance of giving as a form of worship. Now, that's really important when it comes to worshiping, because I believe that, it connects your soul to God. Jesus says, where your heart is, there, where your money is, there your heart also is. And it just shows us what's really important and what matters to us. But today I really want to drill into what I believe is very important when it comes to worshiping. And that is, how do we have an intimate time with God? How do we become more intimate with God? How do we become closer? And I believe it's going to connect our soul in intimacy with God, hopefully more than it ever has before this morning. And the title for the message is Pour Out Your Heart. God wants you to pour out your heart. He wants you to be real. He wants you to connect with him, because he already knows everything, by the way. But he wants you to connect with him. Now, for some of you, those of you that are really blessed, you're in a good place in your life at the moment. Hallelujah. You're overwhelmed with gratitude to God. Life is wonderful. And I want you to pour out your hearts in thanksgiving to God. That's easy, isn't it? Let him know what a stunning provider, what an amazing protector he is. What things he's doing in your life is blessing you. Just let him know what a glorious father he is. Some of you, life might be a little bit boring at the moment. You might have a feeling that life is passing you by, or you're waiting on something and things aren't quite happening. You just kind of feel that you're existing. But today you've got an opportunity, when we worship later, to pour out your heart to God. And know that God is faithful. He's always with you. Some of you might be in a difficult season. Above everybody else, I believe that this message this morning will speak directly to you. If you've come into this place and you're in a bad situation, a bad time of your life, God especially wants to be intimate with you. He especially wants to reach out, and he wants to comfort you, and he wants to speak words that will encourage you and grow you and turn you towards him. That's what God loves to do. Some of you might be struggling financially or looking for a job or in the middle of another tough time. Well, I want to encourage you this morning to pour your heart out to God in the worship time after I've preached, after this message, and give you the opportunity to do that, to cry out to God, because God cares for the brokenhearted. The Bible tells us again and again that God cares for the brokenhearted. It's very difficult theologically to justify the fact that God has favourites, but I do think he does. And the brokenhearted are in there with the favourites. God chases down people that are brokenhearted. He will relentlessly pursue them until he finds us and he changes things. So we're going to look at God's word together today, and learn as an act of worship how we pour out our hearts to God. Now, if you want to know how to worship, if you're not sure, Psalms, just one word, really. You just need Psalms. So we're going to look at several Psalms. I don't think we move very far out of Psalms. This one is, we're going to start with Psalm 142. And we're just going to read verses 1 and 2, and then 4 and 5. And again, we'll come back to different psalms and what they can tell us about ourselves and tell us about how to approach God. So Psalm 142 and verse 1 and 2 says this. It says, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble. This is someone that knows how to pour out their heart to God. Tell them how they really feel, what's going on. And then verse 4 and 5, it says, look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, Lord. I say you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. So start at verse 2. I pour out before him my complaint. It's interesting, isn't it? He doesn't say, oh God, you're wonderful. Thank you for all the... I'm going to ignore all the bad things in my life and focus on the good things and just say thanks, Lord. Right now, he's saying, God, my life is too hard. It's too difficult. I don't know how I'm going to cope with what's going on. Verse 5, I cry out to you. But I want you to notice something really important. As he calls God something very special, as part of his response to what's going on in his life, he calls God something very special. He says, God, you are my refuge, my safe place, my portion in the land of the living. It's a really important title and function of God. More than lots and lots of places talk about God being our refuge. You can find them all over the Bible. It's really important that we don't just read those words, that we experience them. We walk into what it means for God to be our refuge. Psalm 46, everyone will know that. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. What an amazing promise that is for the brokenhearted, for the lost. It's in Psalm 68, verse 8 there, David says, trust him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him. For God is our refuge. What an amazing bit of advice. I'm joining in David's, right into David's stream there. I'm saying, let's do that together today, people. Let's pour out our hearts to God as we worship him. Did a bit of research on that word refuge. And I don't know if you know much about the Old Testament laws, but they had an eye for an eye. So if you killed someone, even accidentally, your life was forfeit. But they also... By the way, and that was pretty standard across ancient Near East civilizations, by the way. If you killed someone, your life was forfeit. That was the way it worked. But there's something very different about God's laws for God's people. He had clauses built in because you were starting to see his caring nature. Already you were starting to see that wasn't quite going to meet every standard of justice that God requires. And so he had cities set aside called cities of refuge. There were six of them in David's time, where if you accidentally killed somebody, you could flee to these cities and nobody could touch you. As long as you could get in there, you were safe. It's great to have a safe place, a safe space. I don't know if any of you did this, but when we were bringing up, when our kids were a little bit younger, our dog was obviously mauled left, right and centre, as they do, and cuddled endlessly. But our dog had a safe space. If the dog went to her bed, she was to be left alone. She had a place of refuge that she could go to and be left alone. And here David says, God is our refuge. He's the one that's going to provide us with a sense of security, a sense of protection. He's the one that's going to give us a sense of blessing. And I don't know, I was thinking of this, and I often think in terms of my relationship with God, in terms of him being a parent. And if I'm a parent, there's some kind of correlation there. Your experience of being a parent actually speaks into your understanding of who God is. And I don't know if you've ever had someone be really mean to your kids. Even when your kids are in the wrong, your instant reaction is to want to defend and protect them. Well, that's God's a million times more, because we're made in the image of God. And God has those same feelings towards each one of you. When somebody is horrible and mean, when somebody is putting you down, when somebody is trying to spoil things for you. God is angry. And God is protective over you. And God is going to choose to intervene in that situation, just like we would. And I want to encourage you. You know, we love to be needed. When our kids need us, that's a lovely feeling. It's a wonderful feeling to want to be, have to do something. It's not a difficulty to have to, well, it is sometimes. Hope needs a lot of lifts. It's not a difficulty to do something for your kids. It's a pleasure. I want to be needed by my kids. And so much more, our Heavenly Father loves to be needed by you, his children. He loves to be needed. He loves it when you pour your heart out and you, he already knows everything about you, but he can handle your cry for help. He wants to hear from you. And today after the message, I'm going to give you a chance to pour out your heart to God, to cry out to him as an act of worship. And I want to give you a couple of things to think about just at the end of the service as you do that. As we move into a moment of worship, I want you to have a couple of things on your mind as we do that. The first one is this. As you pour out your heart, I want to encourage you to remember God's faithfulness in the past. It's a really significant thing. As we approach God, as we pour out our hearts and we tell him what's going on, we have to remember the past and God's faithfulness. As we cry out to him, reflect back to God's goodness and God's faithfulness in the past. That's really powerful spiritually. Really going to make a big difference when you acknowledge the things that God has done in the past. So we looked at, I think we looked at Psalm 42 recently. Lots of psalms today. It's because they're beautiful expressions of prayer and worship. But Psalm 42 probably wasn't written by David. Probably was written by David 42, was at a really low point in his life. And in verse 3, this is what he says. He says, "My tears have been my food day and night." Anyone ever felt like that before? "My tears have been my food day and night." You cry yourself to sleep because things aren't going well, you feel alone and you're hurting. And "my tears have been my food," he says, "while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" Devil likes to challenge people's faith when we're on our knees, when we're at a low point, when things aren't going well. He likes to get in there and just sow a little bit of doubt. God doesn't love you, or God's not around you, he's given up on you, whatever other lies you hear. Something's different for different people. But that's what it is. It's lies. You get that doubt sown into your mind. Well, I'm serving God, so where is he? Why is this happening to me? And then in verse 4 of that Psalm 42, here's the key part. He says, "These things I remember." What does he remember? He remembers God's faithfulness. He remembers the things that God changed. The situations that he overcame, the changes that he made in your relationships. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul." He says how he used to, in that psalm, he says how he used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One. How he used to shout joy. He used to go there with shouts of joy and praise. He's recalling how good life used to be. And then he finishes that psalm like this in verse 11. He starts questioning himself then. He says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." I don't know about you, but every time that I'm crying out to God, the Holy Spirit prompts me to recall the faithfulness of God. At some stage, I'll hear from God and God will just give me a little nudge. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. No. And just give me a little nudge. And say, "Remember the times that I came through. Remember that I've never once been late. Remember that you have never once gone without. Remember the people that I've sent to you and the circumstances that I've changed. Remember the things that I've done. Remember the faithfulness of God." Now, there's a few people with really hard lives in the Bible. It's good, isn't it, to read about people that are worse off than you. Well, if you ever, whatever situation you're in, if you want to read about a guy that's worse off than you, you can look up a book called Lamentations, and you can read about a guy called Jeremiah, who is ever so miserable. I don't know, maybe I'm just being mean, but it's good. I think it's good. You know, if you ever want to cheer yourself up with someone else's misfortune, you can read that, and it changes things. But even Jeremiah says to himself, he says, I am a man who has seen much affliction. And for literally in chapter 3, for 20 verses in Jeremiah, he just lays out all the pain, all the anguish, all the sorrow, all the stuff that's poisoning him and taking him down, all the complaints. You have got permission to do that. God wants you to do that. He wants you to pour out your heart to him. Some of you might bring your marriage before God. Why aren't you doing what I want you to do in my marriage? Maybe you're thinking your marriage isn't going to make it. Some of you are in trouble financially. Some of you can be worried about your child or your grandchildren. There's all kinds of things that can get in there. God wants you to cry out honestly before him. He wants you to bring these things that burden you to him. And that's exactly what Jeremiah does. And some people think it's disrespectful to do that, but I profoundly disagree. I think God wants you to pour out your heart to him. He already knows your heart anyway. He made you. And he knows what you're thinking. So you can't even dress it up. You know how sometimes you think through the best way of phrasing something? If you're going to have a difficult conversation with someone, or you try and dress things up with different words. Forget that with God, because he already knows what's in your heart. You can't put a good impression on with God. It's not a job interview. You don't have to. And he says, just come. Come to me and pour out your heart. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you're feeling. Tell me about how bad it's been. What are we going to do about that? And in the middle of this desperate cry in verse 21 of this is Lamentations. Chapter 3, verse 21, it's really powerful. It says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Isn't hope powerful? Not this one. Well, she is actually quite strong. Hope is powerful. Hope is so powerful. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I call to mind the times you came through for me, Lord. I call to mind the things that you never let me down on. He calls to mind the goodness of God because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. That's what Jeremiah says. Why? Because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. What a wonderful promise. Every single morning, God gives you this invitation. Come on, let's sort you out again. And you find there's a cumulative effect every time you say yes, every time you let God get involved and change things. Might not be the next day. Might be the next day, but it might not. But there's a cumulative effect of coming into God's presence and pouring out your heart and allowing him to change you. And he can transform any situation. How many times have you heard dramatic testimonies of people that were hopelessly lost? People that had no right to be alive because of God. And if you remember, all you've got to do is remember that one time God answered a prayer for you. Remember that one time that God healed a relationship that you thought would never be restored. Where God changed your heart and the heart of someone else. Yet I call this to mind because of your faithfulness. Or remember the time you were hurting and felt all alone and you read the Bible and it was just the right verse that just hit you so strong and powerful. Or you didn't feel like coming to church and you come to church and the message is just for you. It's as if God has just blanked everybody else out the room and he's speaking directly to you. How many times that's happened to me? Loads of times. I've just been sat there thinking, oh, that was a bit sneaky, Lord. And he's just gone straight in so powerfully, told me what I needed to know, comforted me and brought me forward and taken me on. And even if there was nobody else in the room but me and God, he's spoken to me. Yet this I call to mind, that I have hope that he's going to do it again. That's the first thing, as we pour out our hearts, remember God's faithfulness. Second thing is this, as you pour out your heart, trust in God's power for your future. Trust in what he's going to do for you in the future. If that's what he's already done for you, he's not going to change. He's not going to do anything any differently. But we need to have faith that God is going to do those things even more. That he's going to do more and better and more powerful things in us as we yield ourselves to him. Time for another psalm. It's 102. I'm not sure if this one was David, but if you look in your Bibles, it says, they've got titles on psalms sometimes, little notes. They're from the original. They're not like the titles of the editors. The ones in psalms are actually written in the text itself. And Psalm 102 says, a prayer of an afflicted person who has grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. Hello? That's got to ring some bells, isn't it? A lament of an a prayer of an afflicted person who has grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. It's as if God's saying, look, this is how you do it. This is what you've got to do. And just listen to read that psalm and just listen to some of the honesty and the sincerity from the depths of his soul. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Don't hide your face from me when I'm in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. And verse 7, some of you can relate to this. I lie awake. I can't sleep. My mind is so heavy at night. I become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. And then there are three words in there that change everything. Just three words. And I love these three words. They absolutely and completely transform this guy's experience. And these three words alone are the very reason that many of you are here this morning. Verse 12, but you, God. In every circumstances, but you, God. You spoke, you decreed, you decided, you came, you revealed yourself to me. You brought grace into my life, you brought change, you stopped what was going on. You healed my body, you healed my mind, you restored my relationships. You provided all that I needed, but you, God. And some of you today, maybe you could have a but you God moment this morning as we worship in a minute. You're going to cry out and you're going to pour out your heart to God. You're going to complain and you're going to be honest. And at some point, you will push through the pain into the praise. That's what will happen. That's a prophetic word over what will take place this morning when you do this. You will push through the pain into the praise. Something will change. And you'll be like, I don't understand my life and I don't like this and I wish it was some other way, but God, you're still in charge. But you are still on the throne. But your plans and purposes are good for me. But you have plans to bless your people and to prosper them. But with you, God, you're working all things together for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. But you, O God, and some of you in terrible situations, many of us have been in situations where we've lost somebody we love very much and it hurts like heck. And it's the worst thing imaginable. But when you cry out to God and you push through the pain to the place of praise, you can say that God will never leave nor forsake you. And you can say it with meaning and God will comfort you. And God will uphold you. And at some point you plead and cry and pour out your heart. But then all of a sudden you stop and it'll come when you least expect it. That's my experience of doing this. It comes when you least expect it. And suddenly you realize who you're talking to and his love just washes over you like a massive tidal wave. And suddenly you know how much God cares for you and what he has for you and the plans that he has for you. You know that you are loved. He is close to the brokenhearted. And suddenly your plea for help turns into praise because he's good and worthy of all praise. And your confidence has just risen up. Your faith is there. And the presence of God just breaks out and things change. And then you start worshipping and you feel that love and warmth and protection and the comfort and the peace. Suddenly out of the pain, you find the ability to worship. That is a great way to approach God. He wants that intimacy with you. Our God has always been faithful in the past. He's good in the present, and therefore you can trust him with your future. I just want to give you a moment in worship to try that in the next few minutes. If your life is kind of a bit stale, if your relationship with God is a little bit stale, just cry out in worship and ask God to change it. And if you're hurting today, if you feel alone, you can cry out from the depths of your soul. God can handle that. And nobody's going to be watching. People are usually close their eyes in worship, but it's a direct thing between you and God when we worship. We've gathered together to do that together. But what's important is how we do that before God, how we approach God. Cry out in worship because God is worthy. And at some point in the middle of your pain, it will turn to praise because God, who has been faithful in the past, is good in the present, and he will come through for you in the future.